School started this week for some local districts, with more to come in the days ahead. So we wanted to check in with educators from around the state about what it means to have kids back in the building in this most unusual of years. We caught up with Melissa Mastrolia yesterday. She is the president of the Massachusetts Art Education Association. She's also an elementary art teacher in the Acton-Boxborough School District. Monday was her first day of school, and I asked her what that was like and what her kids saw when they walked into her classroom for the first time in more than a year.
It was really interesting. My sixth graders came in, and they haven't been in the art room since fourth grade. So they're much bigger now. And so their response was, it's so small, which is really funny. But they're greeted by lots of art supplies. We have a drawing center. They're invited in with lots of books to inspire them, lots of artist inspiration. So yeah, it's a great, exciting space that is fantastic to be in, finally.
And how did the day go overall?
Yesterday, we didn't have any crying children. Today, not so well. We had a few kindergartners. It was like a domino effect of one friend missing mom and then another friend and another friend, which makes sense. I mean, my kindergartners haven't had, you know, a typical experience. Many of them probably weren't in preschool last year. So it was not surprising that some of them were having a tough time. But yeah, the kids are excited. They were happy to make art and reconnect with their peers and share what they were doing over the summer and what they're excited about.
You know, I'm sorry, but you're just giving me such a visceral memory of my first day of kindergarten. It can be a lot for a little one. How does art help them sort of deal with that? I gotta believe that art class could be really helpful.
Yes, I think it definitely was. Our one little friend who started out first with the tears of missing mom, we redirected and shared, you know, maybe you're going to make something special, make a drawing. And she ended up making a really lovely picture with a little heart and her and mom illustrated inside of the heart to take home to share with her. So I think, yeah, having that opportunity to, like, I know you're missing mom and, you know, you're here with us in art class, you can make something to, you know, help you think about her and celebrate and cherish that, you know, love that you have for your family.
How long have you been teaching art? And I guess, have you done it in Acton-Boxborough the whole time?
This is my 18th school year. And I was lucky. I was hired right out of undergrad, my first job. And I've been lucky to have landed in Acton-Boxborough 18 years ago.
And so now you're the president of the Massachusetts Art Education Association. And I do wonder, as this new school year begins, the third year, school year affected by this pandemic, what are you hearing from other art educators around the state?
So a lot of other art educators I've been hearing sharing worry about, are we going to be able to be in person consistently? It's been hard hearing a lot of art educators across the country who started back to school before us, because we start a little bit later compared to some other states. And so there's been rumblings of, you know, lots of teachers being out and students being out. So there's definitely been some anxiety about, you know, is that going to happen in Massachusetts? There's also been worry about, like, okay, what does this look like? Because a lot of teachers are now back in their spaces, sharing supplies and all of that. So worry about, how do we keep track of where students are sitting, you know, in case we have to do contact tracing? What does it look like sanitizing supplies? And so I think last year, we had sort of a clear idea of what we could and couldn't do. This year, it's a little more gray, which is helpful, but also for some teachers who don't feel like they can just sort of make the best choice for their space, it feels like they don't know exactly what to do.
So I'm thinking about masks too, required of all students, regardless of vaccination status, except outside and at lunch. How is that working out so far? Especially, you know, so you talked about the littlest ones, the kindergartners. You've talked about the sixth graders. I imagine very different for those bookends. And then what about the kids in the middle?
in our district in Acton Bucksboro, it's been pretty good. I mean, lots of reminders about you need to pull it back up over your nose or your, you know, those types of things. But kids are wearing them. I mean, I have the benefit. I'm seeing them for, you know, a tiny chunk of their day, like 45 minutes. So I'm sure classroom teachers are having a different experience, you know, when it comes to the end of the day. My, you know, second graders, third graders are starting to struggle with like having to wear it all day. I joked with my student teacher, like yesterday was sort of a shock to the system because I haven't been having, you know, to live my life in a mask all day. And so it was like, we have to get used to this again. And so I'm sure it's the same with the students. And so trying to, you know, I'm not being so diligent in terms of pull up your mask, pull up your mask, pull up your mask, recognizing that we need to like ease into it and that we're all just doing our best.
And do you feel safe both for you and for the kids?
I do. I do. I've talked to a lot of colleagues who were fully remote. So in my district, we had a fully remote elementary school. And so all the elementary schools fed into that one remote school. So, you know, about, I would say a third of my colleagues were fully remote. And so their comfort level is very different. I didn't go remote at all last year. Like we were hybrid and then in April shifted to full in person. So having done all of last year, I feel comfortable and safe.
So I'm also thinking about this morning and getting ready for this. We looked back at a conversation we had with the superintendent from Acton Bucksboro, Peter Light. It was spring of 2020. He wrote a letter to parents that got a strong response from parents in the Acton Bucksboro school community, just saying, it's going to be okay. And I'm feeling what you're feeling. And I have kids too. And it's going to be okay. It is striking how long ago that feels now. Do you think it's been okay? And do you think it's going to be okay?
I think so. I think so. It has to. I mean, I know there's lots of conversation about like, are we going to wear masks indefinitely? And what does this look like? And I think we're moving in the right direction. It's feeling more normal. Like I said, I'm in my classroom. Students are making art. They're able to move around. Like last year, they were just in their desks, you know, independently. And so it's feeling more normal. And I think it's going to be okay. I think one thing that strikes me, I remember in the spring when my sixth graders were finally eligible to get vaccinated as they were turning 12, and it wasn't all of them right at the same time, but I was struck by how excited my students were to get vaccinated and they were sharing that. And so I just keep reminding myself of that moment and that those students. So I think we're moving in, yeah, the right direction and it will be okay.
I wonder, are there any lessons from the pandemic, whether, you know, about adapting the way you taught or lessons you learned about yourself, things you heard from other educators that you're going to carry forward permanently in your own teaching now?
Yes. I think it took me about half of the year last year to get to this place, but finally giving myself permission for less is more. It will work itself out. It all doesn't need to be figured out. Coming into this school year, for example, like I was resetting up a classroom space that hadn't been used for an entire school year. And I started to have, you know, worry about, is it going to be done? And do I have the time to get it all set? And then I just reminded, like, last year was so out of the ordinary and you made it through. This year will be okay. If things are not set up the way you want them to, it will be set up. It will be an experience that, you know, my students can be a part of. And so just reminding myself, yeah, we'll all be, we'll work through it all together.
And what is your biggest hope, both for you and for the kids this year?
Oh, I mean, I think the first thing that came to mind when you just said that was, I hope to have an art show where families can come together. And I'm missing that. We haven't had one for 2 years. I mean, I've put together virtual art shows, but I'm missing that community building and that coming together.
Melissa Mastrolia is the president of the Massachusetts Art Education Association and an elementary art teacher in the Acton Bucksboro School District. Melissa, thank you so much. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
So that is what it's been like in the classroom for one local art teacher this week. So now what about a whole district? You have become familiar with Chelsea School's Superintendent Almi Abeda here on Radio Boston. Chelsea was particularly hard hit by the coronavirus pandemic, and we've checked in with Superintendent Abeda periodically throughout. So Chelsea kids, grades 1 through 12, are back in school today. Today is the day, and Superintendent Abeda joins us now. Superintendent, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, Superintendent,
thank
I am...
Thank you. And yes, today...
I'm just going to stop you there for a second, Superintendent. I am delighted to have you, but your sound is bad. So we are here in the studio in the control room. We're going to get you back with better sound. I'm sure we'll have the superintendent back in just a minute. There are so many questions that we want to ask her. And I'm going to stay with you on the air here while we do that and just remind you of the conversations that we've had with the community of Chelsea over the last 18 months. About hunger, pandemic response, education. There's been so much. So, Superintendent, I think we have you back on a stronger line.
Okay.
Are you there?
I am here, and I can hear you clearly now.
Oh, that's fabulous. Great. Thank you for staying with us while we did that. I really just want to start by saying, hey, how are you?
I am great. We are excited about the school year.
I'm so glad. And so today, first day, it's, I guess, sort of behind you now. What's the moment today that you think is going to stick with you tonight? It's going to stick with you a month from now when you look back on this first day?
I think the moment that's going to stick with me is just seeing all the kids and the families come on the first day in person and watching them line up and the excitement in the air and all the students just, you could, even though they were wearing masks, you could literally see the smiles underneath the masks. You could see it in their eyes. And the kids are just excited to be in person. The teachers are excited. Everyone's saying, we're so happy to see our students in person. And that, those are the moments that will stick with me.
Superintendent Abeda, that's really joyful. Was there any trepidation for you coming into today?
I did not experience any trepidation. I'm sure some of our staff may have. As you know, when we came back in March, only 50% of our families chose to come back, so 50% stayed in remote. And so I can imagine for some of our families, it may have been a little difficult to bring their children back. You could see just a few parents kind of hanging on to their kids, and you're kind of wondering, is that because it's the first day, a new school? Is it partly because of COVID? And so there probably was a little bit of everything and mixed emotions today. And I can imagine with some of our teachers who have not been in person for 17 months coming back. But I also know that because of our safety mitigation and what we've been doing, that helps everybody and kind of calms the situation. So I do believe that our educators feel safer, and I believe that our families feel safer. And I think today was a huge milestone to have all of our students in at the same time. It's a huge day for us in Chelsea because we haven't had all of our students in over 17 months.
So I wanted to ask you about that because Chelsea is one of only 7 districts allowed by the state to have a virtual school option this year. You talked about, you know, having up to 50% of your students remote last year. What percentage are staying remote this year, and what are you hearing from them about why?
Well, the virtual school that we have is not a remote learning school. It's a virtual school. It's a true virtual school with it's for select students. They have to be referred by the principal, the educators, and working with the parents. So it's really about individualizing instruction. And so when the Department of Education put out the all call and said, any district interested in applying for a virtual school, you can apply, I jumped at the opportunity because we've learned so much during remote learning that I wanted to take advantage of this crisis, if you will, and this opportunity to say, we've learned a lot. Some of our students actually do better in the remote setting. Some of our students thrive, and some of our teachers did. So let's try this. Let's do it small, and let's focus on the individualization of instruction for students.
And so, do you think this is going to be sort of part of the way Chelsea does school from now on?
It's the virtual school, just to clarify, is a very small amount.
Yes.
We're looking at up to maybe 100 students. And it is an official school. So instead of Chelsea having 10 schools, we now have 11 schools. And so I do think that this will be a part of our portfolio. We hired a principal, and she's hired some teachers. And today we started off with 5 students because, again, the students have to be referred, and there's special there's a referral process. And we're being innovative. And I told the virtual school staff the other day, it's like, there are going to be some bumps along this road. This is a brand new endeavor for us, and welcome to the roller coaster. We're going to get through this together. We're going to create. We're going to be innovative in how we do this, and we are going to meet the needs of individual students.
So I'm thinking about masks, too, Superintendent. Statewide mask mandate was issued on the 25th of August for students and staff in Massachusetts public schools. You had a letter from a couple days before letting families know that you wanted there to be masks. But we also know there had been some open discussion that the state was going to do this. So had you planned ahead of the state to require masks? And if so, why was that an important step to take?
I didn't know that the state was going to issue a mask mandate when the state did, or when DESE did. I was already moving in that direction because of our community and conversation with multiple stakeholders and talking to our families. So when I went to my school committee, I said, here is my recommendation that we do universal masking. And then the following week, school committee voted and approved the universal masking. And then I think it was a couple of days later, the Department of DESE and the commissioner went ahead and made the mandate. So we were just ahead, a little bit ahead. It's a conversation that I had been having with multiple stakeholders over the summer, trying to get a pulse and a feel for what would be best for the Chelsea community. One thing I tell everyone is because we were such a hard-hit community, I feel that I have a huge responsibility to make sure our families and students feel safe, that our staff feel safe, and just listening to families on the ground, listening to educators. Mask mandate was what I had recommended for for Chelsea Public Schools.
You know, as you said, you were such a hard hit community by the pandemic. We know Chelsea's still recovering. We're all still recovering. Are you anticipating that the kids are going to need more emotional support, more mental health supports this year, that the staff are going to need more of that? And if so, how are you going to do that?
I do anticipate more that our students will need more social emotional support than in the past. We have shored up our support staff with increasing the amount of social workers in our buildings and school counselors. So we are moving in that direction. We're screening students, and we actually got a start of doing that in the fall. So we're able, with the students that we did have, we were able to provide screening for them.
And last then, fall, you mean?
Correct. Not the fall, in the spring, my apologies. In the spring, when we did have our students come back in March, we were able to get a start with that. And then in the summer school, we had social workers present as well. And so now that we have all of our students back, which we're so excited to have everybody back so that way we can work on making sure we're finding the kids that need the support and providing the support for them.
All right. That is Almia Beta, the superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.